Let us recite the memory verse of the week to our guests at Mosaikau Church. We value what we call disciples value. What does a disciple of Christ look like? One answer is he, she commits to the scripture reading and the memorization so that we get to know Jesus. So the memory verse of the week is Mark chapter 1, verse 27. So everyone, I encourage you and challenge you to do this with me. Mark 1, 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits, and they..." Very good. Very good. Okay. Now, let's start with this week's new memory verse, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Is it 21? Yeah. Listen, you could summarize the whole entire Bible in one verse. This is it. So this is the verse that you really need to want to, you get to, keep it in your heart with your memorization. Let's say it together. 2 Corinthians 15, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 15, verse 21. Children, have a wonderful time in the kids' house, the little house, and we will see you at the table of fellowship time. And thank you, all the teachers and helpers, for raising up these boys and girls in the way of Jesus. Some time ago, a young woman asked me, "I'm not even sure God is there. And I don't even know if God actually cares about me." Another young man said to me at one time, "I'm more of a deist." What he meant by that is, a deist is someone who believes that there is a God, there is a creator, the one who made the heavens and the earth, but he is like a watchmaker. He makes a watch, he winds it up, and then he leaves it alone. Let the watch tick. So a deist is someone who says, "Yeah, I believe there is a God, I believe there's a creator, but he does not enter into my world. He creates the world, and he says, let it tick." He said, "God doesn't care about me, and I don't even know if I need him to care about me." Okay. What about this? I met so many people inside the church who said these things along the line of, "I am so unworthy. I am so corrupt. I am so defiled and vile. God could not possibly care about me." Of these three examples, I wonder who you might be. Or are you one who says, "I am so confident in my self-righteousness. Yes, God loves me. And God cares about me, and God blesses me because I am so obedient and good." Well, this morning, the Lord Christ will answer all these questions in chapter 1 of the book of Mark. We've been going through this series called Jesus on the Move. We are preaching all the way from Mark 1 to all the way to the end of the book, and it's been weeks and weeks, and we're still in chapter 1, everyone. So take your time, sit back, and relax. We're going to follow Jesus. And Mark, unlike the other three gospel writers, he focuses on only one dying question. He doesn't as much care about the teachings of Jesus. Mark is the shortest book of the four Gospels. Matthew is really big on teachings of Jesus. So is John. But Mark is not so much concerned about the teachings of Jesus. He is concerned with one vexing question. Who is this Jesus? And by coming to know Jesus, we get to know God himself. And today's title is, How Far Will God Go? How far is he willing to go to let you know, yes, I do care. Yes, I do enter into your mess. And yes, and I can do so much more. I will redeem you and clean you. How far is God willing to go to reveal that truth and grace to all of us? So I invite you to use the sermon notes, and you can have access to that by you utilizing the QR code in front of you. We go to Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 45. Heads up, verse 35, verse 45, those are bookends. So Mark is saying this is one passage, one unit. Hear the living word of the Lord, my friends. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a, can you read that for me? Where? Solitary place. That's a key word. And that same Greek word in Greek appears, reappears, guess where? In verse 45. Thank you. Someone's listening. Someone's listening. Thank you. Where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, Everyone is looking for you. Back up, time, pause. This is right after Jesus launched his kingdom ministry. And then he heals the sick. And he casts out demons. And his teaching is so amazing. People are all asking, what is this? New teaching with authority and his power to drive out demons. And listen, in a word, his kingdom campaign has been launched. And it is skyrocketing. Everyone is coming to him. And then what does Jesus do? He goes to a solitary place where he Peter, Simon, and all the disciples, Lord Jesus, what are you doing here? We have a campaign to run, and the time is right, and people are coming to you, and we have to seize the moment. He says, no, I'm praying. He's not praying just for minutes. He's been gone for a long time, every morning. And as I continue on, would you please find out which character in the story do you identify yourself with? Is it Peter, Simon, the disciples? Is it the crowd? Or is it the leper, the guy with the skin disease? Continue on. Verse 38. Jesus replied, Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. There's a little shift in the plot. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. Can you picture this? What would this leper look like? What kind of coverings does he have on? He comes to Jesus and people are just flocking around him and he's on his knees. Are you picturing it? And he's begging. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord Jesus, I know I've heard the good news that you've cast out demons and you healed people and you have authority to teach the kingdom of God. And I believe if you are willing, you can make me what? Clean. Pause. I'll come back to this. Very important. Don't you find that strange? I do. This is what I mean. I'm a leper. I have skin disease. I would have said, if you are willing, you can heal me. Oh. Yeah? Fair? I'll come back to that. This is one of the key things that unlocks the passage. Jesus was indignant. Picture this. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in, read that for me. In Greek, it's the same word as solitary place. I'll come back to that. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. My friends, this is the reading of the living word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of the heart be pleasing in thy sight and bring glory to the name of Christ and edify our faith in him. Amen. The theme of this message is simple. Write these words. Christ becomes unclean to make us clean. Christ, God himself, becomes what? Unclean for the purpose of making you and me clean. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to break into two parts. Number one, why? Why are we unclean spiritually? Christ makes us clean. Hang on. I'm hoping every one of you took a shower this morning. Don't look at the person next to you. Okay? I know I did. I wanted to be clean physically. I wanted to have this, acceptable hygiene. I want to be clean. But when Christ makes you clean, that's not what he's talking about. He's making you and me clean spiritually. Okay? Again, let's go back to verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can heal me. No, that's not what he said. Okay? This book of Mark was written to the church in Rome, which consists of both the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians. And all the Gentile Christians, the Roman Christians, the Greek Christians, and Korean Christians, they would have said, well, hang on, why doesn't Mark say, Lord Jesus, if you are willing, why doesn't the leper say, if you are willing, you can heal me? Instead, he says, you can make me clean. And all the Jewish Christians in church in Rome would have said, well, duh, haven't you read the book of Leviticus? That's it. This man knows exactly what he needs. Was he asking for physical healing? Yes, but he was asking for far more than the healing of the disease from his skin. Look, let's go to the book of Leviticus. How many of you read this challenging book, Leviticus? Okay, how many of you attempted to read it, but after the third chapter, you just gave up? And some of you. It's not an easy book to follow because it's all about ceremonial laws. Okay, so here. Let me read verse 9. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 9. When anyone has a defiling skin disease, leprosy, they must be brought to the priest. The priest is to examine them, and if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and if there is raw flesh in the swelling, this is disgusting. It is a chronic skin disease, and the priest shall pronounce them unclean. And you go, okay, send the dude to a dermatologist. Why is this in the book of Leviticus, in the Bible? And that's a good question. Okay? Let me just spend 30 seconds to talk about the entire book of Leviticus. At the heart of Leviticus is this. How do we, spiritually unclean beings, enter into the presence of the Holy God, who is absolutely clean? And that's what the book of Leviticus is wrestling with. How can Victor Koh, who is so defiled, enter into the Holy of Holies of the presence of the Lord God Almighty? How do people whose hearts are defiled, filled with diseases spiritually, will be accepted into the holy presence of the most holy God? So the book goes on to say, listen, in the book, there's say clean. Clean. Say unclean. So, like this, certain foods are unclean. If you eat pork, that's an unclean food, and therefore, Jews don't eat certain foods, okay? And all the pigs said, eat more chicken. Now, is God concerned about our diet? Not really, okay? He's not talking about, you must eat these foods. Therefore, if you do, you become unclean. No, because Christ comes along and says, hey, whatever enters your mouth does not make you unclean. Whatever comes out of your heart, that's what makes you unclean already. The uncleanness of your soul is not what you eat. It's what's within you, in your soul. The book Leviticus talks about things like bodily discharge, female's menstruation, men's... kids are gone. Bodily discharge. Okay? And you go, oh, what is that got to do with the Bible? Well, in this, again, it's about clean and unclean. It's God's way of saying, hey, I need to teach you a lesson. How can I, the Holy God, come in to enter, break into your life and restore you, heal you, and bless you when you are defiled? The Bible speaks of God as light. Yeah, you've heard that. And the Bible speaks of Victor Koh as darkness. And that's the question. How can light enter into darkness? Because if it does, darkness will be destroyed. And therefore, God has a dilemma. God cares about you. God loves you, has a plan for you. He must enter into you, but you are defiled. And in the presence of the Holy God, what happens to the defiled? You will be destroyed. Let me give you in one paragraph. Here's a good slide. The theological teaching of Leviticus regarding uncleanness in light of Christ is that these ritual laws were symbolic foreshadows. That's good. Symbolic foreshadows of the need for true internal spiritual purification from sin, which is fully accomplished through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Got that? Okay? So the leper recognizes, I need to be made clean in my flesh. Amen. He also knows, I need to be clean spiritually to enter into God's holy presence. Furthermore, as a leper, you know what the book of Leviticus says about lepers? Again, a leper is declared unclean, and therefore a leper is cast outside into the solitary place, into the lonely place. I'll come back to that. And where there is isolation, he has no social contact, and he is alone. He's outside. He's an outcast. And he's saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean socially, relationally. I hunger for human interaction. in the book of Leviticus. If a leper is walking and he sees someone approaching, he must shout out, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me." Why? Because if you come in contact with whatever is unclean, a leper, guess what happens to you? You become, say it, unclean. It's contagious, not only physically, but spiritually. And this is man begging, kneeling, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Well, let's make it more personal. Turn to the person next to you and ask, "Do you have leprosy?" Go on, go on, go on, quick. But don't get too close. All right, here's a slide. Let's read it together. We all have leprosy. You catch that? Spiritually, we all have leprosy. Of all the skin diseases, it's leprosy that is mentioned most often in the whole Bible. You recognize that? Yeah, you do, right? You know, leprosy this, leprosy that. You ever wonder why Bible focuses on the disease of leprosy? Because it likens leprosy to our sinful condition. In this way, number one, okay? What happens with the disease? Leprosy is a bacterial disease, and the bacteria attacks your immune system, so your body cannot fight off all the germs and the contaminants. Okay? Number two, it starts internally. Number three, and here's a cool thing. Well, not a cool thing, but good insight. The bacteria also attacks the nerve system. So if you are in this stage of leprosy disease, you don't feel anything. You know why lepers lose their limbs and fingers and toes? You know why? Because they don't feel pain. You put your hand in the burning oven and you don't feel the burning. And all the cuts and all the burns bring about this infection. And that's why they lose so many limbs and fingers and toes and legs and arms. Numbness. It's exactly what sin does to you. You become numb to your sin. You become numb to your sinful behavior. You become numb to the effects and the guilt and the shame of sin, just like leprosy. So friends, before you move on, here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You are a leper. We all have leprosy. And that's why we are all unclean spiritually. We are just like the leper. See, in the Bible, in the story, do you identify yourself with Peter, Paul? "Lord, what are you thinking? Let's go. We got work to do. Stop praying." Or do you identify yourself with the crowd, going with the mass? "Oh, here's a miracle worker. Oh, here's a guy who can feed us, 5,000 of us, oh, with fish and chips. Oh, here is Jesus teaching about giving the best sermons I ever heard." Or do you identify yourself with the leper? I do. I see myself in the story. The guy. I picture him. He can't even lift his face. It's so disfigured. He has a cloth over him, a ragged cloth, filthy, smelly, dark. He's saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's me. And the Holy Spirit wants you to see yourself as a leper. Let's move on. Point number two, therefore. Christ makes us clean by becoming unclean. He heals us by becoming sick. He cleanses us by becoming unclean. He makes us whole. And by so doing, he himself becomes the leper. Let's look at verse 45. Jesus was indignant. Sorry, my bad. Verse 41. Jesus was indignant. Do you see that little footnote right next to it? Yes? When you come to Mark or any place in the Bible, you see these footnotes. You got to go deeper. Okay? Don't just, you know, read through and no. See? What's that doing there? And you go down on the page. It says something like, in other manuscripts, the word is moved by compassion. Okay. Let me give you a Greek lesson. You ready? This is my favorite Greek word ever. Okay. It is pronounced splakinizomai. Okay, let me say it again, okay? And then you can be really cool at the party sometime later. Splakinizomai. Say it. It means moved with compassion, take pity. All right? Okay? But it doesn't do justice. You know, it's one of those things about translation. It kind of conveys maybe 50% of the meaning, but not 100%. So the word splakinizomai comes from splakinizo, which is literally your internal organs. We're talking about the heart, the lungs, the kidney, the guts, the intestines, okay? So the actual meaning is Jesus was moved, literally, splagiznizomai. That's what he felt. He saw the man. He saw the leper. He saw Victor Ko on his knee, reaching out, begging, if you're willing, you can make me clean. His response is that of, not English, splakinizomai. My heart is wrenched. My inward parts, organs are being pulled out. That's how I feel towards you, the Lord Christ says. Does God care? Does he enter into my broken world? How far will God go? How far will he go to bring me home? The answer, splakinizomai. Moved with compassion. See, it doesn't do justice. And I can't convey it either. Christ in his heart, in his liver, in his lungs, in the whole part of him felt. And then here comes the touch. What does Jesus do? He touched the leper. The touch. My friends, the whole Bible is described, summarized, and captured in one picture. The touch. I wonder if anyone had painted this touch. Christ touching the leper. That touch is the whole gospel right there in one slice of that photograph. Question. Could Jesus have healed the guy just by saying so? You leper, be healed. Yep. We know that because he's done it in the Bible. Just with a command, with authority. Even just thinking it in it. He don't got to even say no word. Now, bad grammar for emphasis. He can just think it. Healed. Then why does God reach out, touch the man, knowing the book of Leviticus? Now, what happens to Jesus? What happens? He touches the unclean, therefore he becomes unclean. He knew that. The leper knew that. The disciples knew that. The crowd knew it. Even Jesus knew it well. Let's look at verse 14. Then the priest is to sacrifice the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed. He's talking about a leper. From their uncleanness. After that, the priest shall slaughter the burnt offering and offer it on the altar together with a grain offering and make atonement for them, and they will be, what? Clean. A leper will be clean with a sacrifice. Okay? Once leper is outside the village and he is in the lonely place, solitary place, he's becoming better, his skin's looking good, so he calls the priest, hey, look. The leprosy is gone. The priest examines it, offers a sacrifice, and he's welcome into the community. But when Christ healed the man, this didn't happen. Let's go back to the theme. Christ becomes unclean to make us clean. Say that with me. Christ becomes unclean to make us clean. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Can I change this? Can I make it even more poignant for this morning? God made him who had no leprosy to be a leper for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our skin will be as healthy as a brand newborn baby. I'm going to show you a picture. Hang on. Wait. Warning. I'm going to show you a picture of a leper. Okay? You may find this, what's the word, too hard to observe. But if I just may, hey, can we just overcome the discomfort level just for a minute? I need you to recognize and take into account 2 Corinthians chapter 15. God made him who had no leprosy, made him a leper. Okay, so I'm going to show you the picture. Got it? Okay. Let's look at it. It's a man. See the disease eating away his skin? His back is just riddled with it. Now, I couldn't show you his hands and feet because it was too grotesque. Missing fingers, missing toes, missing limbs. This is what the disease does to a human flesh. Now, translate this into our sinful condition. What our sin is doing to our spirit is far, far worse than this. We will forever be separated from the clean, holy presence of the Lord God Almighty. There is no way we could go and approach God on our own. And there is no way God could come to us unless Christ comes in flesh. He takes on the leprosy of the world. My leprosy, your leprosy. He takes it onto him. So much so, it's as if he himself is the entire disease of leprosy in humanity. And through that, Christ makes us clean, healthy, restored. Verse 45, bookends, and that's because of the word in Greek, eremos. It's translated solitary place, or lonely places. A better word is desert, wilderness. Here's the best. Desolate place. Place where people can't leave. it's uninhabitable. Christ was praying in Eremos, alone in the wilderness. And after healing the leper, he trades his places with the leper. The leper is now in the town with the social network. He has community, his relationships. And now where's Jesus? Jesus in Eremos, outside, in the desolate place. And this is Mark's way of pointing, foreshadowing what is to come. Where was Jesus crucified? Outside the city, in Eremos. He was crucified in a desolate place, skull. This is Mark's way of saying, when Christ heals us of our leprosy, he replaces, switches, trays our places. We become clean. He becomes unclean. We are into the community, and he is expelled out into Eremos. But thanks be to God, this is no ordinary human being. It is God, he is God himself, who has the power to not only heal the leper, but he does not become defiled anymore. For he is not only fully human, but fully God. And therefore, this God, his name is Jesus, how far will he go to find us, to heal us? Pray with me. Oh, wait. Can we do some applications? Quick. I find it, as a preacher, the hardest part about sermon crafting and delivering is not the interpretation, not even the delivery, but in the application. And here's why. There's so many of you, and you are at so many different places. And it is impossible for me to give one specific, the right fitting application for every one of you. And it's not fair to have the expectation. I hear this all the time. The sermon was great, but your application were really poor. Well, here, I'm going to turn the table on you. That's your job. That is your job. I'm not going to spoon feed you. You are old enough. You heard the gospel, the grace and truth. Now, you find out, Holy Spirit, what is my nugget? How should I apply this? Meaning, whenever you hear, receive the grace of Christ, he demands that you respond. Got it? It is an atrocity for us to receive, hear the grace of Christ, and not respond. That is unacceptable. So we apply the message to our own context. Let me help you with this, but you have to come up with your own. Crawl, walk, run. We're at different journey, different places. So you decide you're going to crawl, you're going to walk, or you're going to run. Here's one example. At our house church this past week on Wednesday night, we are going through the book of Mark as well, and one member said, hey, let's do a response to this message with the value of Scripture. So the value of Scripture is to know Jesus. I feel inspired, I feel challenged, that one way I can respond to the grace of Christ is, I want to get to know you better, Lord. Lord Jesus, if this is who you are, and this is what you have done, I want to deeply know you, not superficially. I want to know you. So the person said, what if we collectively as house church read the whole book of Mark? Someone goes, oh, the whole book, oh no, that is so long. No, it ain't. It's the shortest gospel of the four. And here's my conviction. If you deem yourself as a follower of Christ, if you claim that you have received the grace of Jesus, this is one response. You should at least read the book of Mark at least in 1 week. At least. You could read it in one sitting, actually. And you could surely read the whole Bible. If you haven't read the whole Bible, my dear friends, may I gently encourage you. Make a plan. Small readings, but every day. Get to know Jesus in Scripture. Second possibility, the value of sent out. We go with Jesus. Christ is loose, he's going, and therefore we go with him. We are being sent out in this. There are many lepers in the world. Whom are you going to touch this week? You're going to touch a leper today? Tomorrow? How about one leper, 1 week? And when you touch the leper, you get involved, right? And that's why you don't want to touch lepers. Because if you touch them, you got to get involved. So what does it look like? Think of someone in your life. Oh, hey, the Holy Spirit will give you a face or a name. And you're going to call that person a leper. 1, 2, 3, boom. What should you do? What does that touching look like? Knowing that you have to get involved. Sounds good? Pray with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, our King, our God, words fail to convey how thankful we are. Nothing we say won't measure up to what you have done. And nothing we do will measure up to what you have done. But we want to try. We want to say we thank you. We want to say we love you. We want to say we follow you. And we want to say we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen.